This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
NASA have actually been working really hard this year. They've been doing a lot of different things, and they've landed a probe on an asteroid, which is incredible.
So, like, they've shot up a probe, it's landed on the asteroid safely. Asteroids spin a lot, so I guess
when asteroids are moving, so it's pretty incredible.
I actually don't understand how this... It would have to be going away from wherever they shot it from, because if it was coming towards us, wouldn't it just explode into the asteroid? Because if the asteroid's going... It doesn't look like it, but it's probably going, like, hundreds of thousands of kilometres an hour, or millions of kilometres an hour, and then if it's coming the other way, wouldn't the probe just explode? I don't know.
Look, this the key points here are that it only was on the surface of the asteroid for just about 10 seconds, grabbed 60 grams of rubble, and it's
going
to be bringing the rubble back to Earth in 2023.
Well done. Good.
He's saying that's not an amazing achievement,
because
it is.
I'm saying 60 grand isn't that much.
60 we named grams the asteroid Bennu, which I think is fantastic as well.
Yep.
And so, look, this is... obviously, quick grab and dash type situation that we've done here with the asteroid.
Yeah.
The only thing I worry about with this, and I can't see any details here about it, what did we grab? Because there are all sorts of theories. Like, it's one of the theories is that all life on Earth came from an asteroid that crashed into Earth, and that's where that's how our planet got life on it. Like, so what if we've just grabbed a bunch of little microbe aliens and we're now bringing them back to Earth?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
It's not
good. We've got until 2023 to really think this through.
Surely at any point, we can just get it to shoot off into space.
There must be a self-destruct button. We can just go, you know, actually, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried.
I am a little worried because they say that, like, because they're not like anything on planet Earth, octopus or octopi might be from a different planet because they can change, and same as cuttlefish, they might be
different DNA sequencing than other animals.
They're nothing like anything on Earth.
It's pretty incredible. That, as a stat, is incredible, but this is what I'm talking about. What did we just grab off the surface of this asteroid?
But that's what I'm saying. If it's something like a squid or an octopus or a cuttlefish, I'm fine with that because they're, like, pretty whatever, like calamari. But if it's like a human... I don't need that.
Still lots of different things that we don't understand about the universe. There's lots that we do. There's lots that we don't. What if this asteroid wasn't an asteroid and it's actually an asteroid-shaped life form that we've just taken, like, just literally ducked down and ripped a bit of its hair off?
Yeah, so you think that there's a rock
and the asteroid
person,
that killed the dinosaurs was actually, like, an attack from an asteroid planet.
Yeah.
And now we've just made them really mad.
Uh-huh.
They're like, they've just ripped the top of my hair off. That's terrible. What are they doing that for? Well, they didn't learn their lesson last time. Another asteroid coming for us.
You started that by saying, imagine if.
These are all hypotheticals, of course, obviously.
It's real hard for me to imagine what you just said, because it's...
Shouldn't be. Yeah. Have you seen Neverending Story? I'm talking about the rock guy, the guy that eats rocks.
Yeah, have you seen...
Like a planet full of them that throw rocks at other planets.
I have seen the Neverending Story. Have you seen it, or did you live it? That wasn't real.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Harry and Megan live in California.
Yep.
In a gated community, their neighbours are Ellen, Oprah.
The rich of the rich.
The rich of the daytime.
The famous of the famous.
yeah. Dr. Phil, maybe. Yeah. Jerry Springer. All of the people. Ricky Lake.
She's retired, but she's still there.
So they live in a very, very nice neighbourhood that is actually going through a little bit of strife at the moment, because apparently a bunch of people in this gated community have chicken coops.
Oh.
And the bacawking and the rustling has attracted a black bear.
Oh.
A really big black bear.
That's hilarious.
That is breaking into people's backyards, eating their chickens,
so hilarious.
Well, I mean, bears do what bears will do. Yeah. And they're also going through
How confusing must that be for bears? Like a wild bear to see a chicken coop.
Yep.
It's like, so you guys are just leaving this here for me.
Yeah.
And not just that, but you've made it so they can't escape.
Yeah.
You
left me a cage of food.
He probably thinks the humans, like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
He's like, they've set this up for me.
He's also going through bins and eating old stuff out of bins.
But once again,
he's like, oh, little containers.
Little buffets. So kind of them.
So he's in this gated community. No one can find this black bear, but I'm having a look at it. It's big.
Massive, yeah. Where do they... That's what always amazes me when, like, the sheriff's department's looking for a huge mountain lion or a bear or something like that.
How are we not finding it?
Yeah, where are they hiding during the day? Like, how are you not finding this massive bear in a gated community?
So, Meghan Markle, she's from California.
Yeah.
Like, the state. So she's probably used to bears.
She's had some experience of, like, these animals are around.
Imagine Prince Harry, though. It's like, I left in a state.
Yeah. The biggest thing that could have scared me was maybe a badger.
Yeah. Or a wily fox.
Yeah.
A fantastic Mr.
That's
Fox.
That's the thing with England, isn't it? They've got like smallish animals.
Yeah.
There's
like
not
the
really
wind
any
the willows.
Massive. Yeah.
The wind and the willows.
I'm trying to think. Do they have massive animals? Like,
I think they have. I think that's. I don't know. Maybe wolves.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's it. Like.
Because do we really? We don't really either, do
Our
we?
Our biggest predator is, I think, a dingo.
Yeah.
Like a land predator.
We've got snakes and stuff.
Yeah, but in terms of like actual... the
huge size. Whereas America's got bears, mountain lions, cougars. Yeah. Like they've got these huge animals that could absolutely mess stuff up.
Exactly right. I just... if I was Harry, I'd be locking myself in the house and being like, why did you make us move?
Yeah.
We could have just... we could have lived happily ever
after.
Our
scariest threat would have been a fox, and if you leave the right kind of food out, you could eventually be patting him.
Exactly,
like he would
right.
Be
you
so,
could befriend them.
Yeah, he would wear a waistcoat and have a pocket watch and talk to you.
If we had a hound, which I absolutely do, we're British, it could have become best friends with this fox.
The fox and the hound would have been in our backyard.
Exactly.
Instead, we've got an actual bear.
Yeah, which doesn't look like Yogi Bear. I've been duped. It looks like an enormous black bear.
Imagine, though, if we could get to a point where literally you could befriend the bear. Because then he'd become honestly the best protection the Royals could hope for.
Of course. Yeah. It's a bear bodyguard.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
It's my dream. That is my... and in a perfect world, I can become friends with a bear.
I would say, all of this stuff aside...
yeah, which is a lot to take in, I know.
This is like the trade-off for essentially... because I don't understand how or why they're living in the gated community. I think they're in a friend's house or something like that.
No, they bought one. They were living in Tyler Perry's house.
This is what, where did they get the $20 million from to buy the house? Like, I just don't understand how the Royal Family works. Mm. And so occasionally, maybe I have to fend off a bear. Maybe that's just maybe it's just the cost of doing business.
You've been knighted.
Yeah.
Defend your place.
Literally put the armor on, Harry. Put the suit of armor on and defend your family against the bear.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
It's Thursday, the 22nd of October 2020. Only mentioning the date because there was a time here in Canberra that was pre-scooter and a time that was post-scooter. We are living in the post-scooter universe. We have both brands of scooters. The town is aflush in the middle of the CBD.
We're zipping around.
And in Belconnen with orange and purple scooters everywhere. Yeah. We are zipping around. As you said, on the weekend, you saw a few people fall off them.
Yep.
We're leaving them all over the place. Some of them are being piled up next to each other, which I saw some photos of this morning. Looks terrible. Just stand the scooters up. It's not hard.
It's not hard.
When you finish at the end of it, just put it in a space that's away from everything. Stand them up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the point is we're loving our scooters. And this is kind of like the Razor scooter craze. Remember when the Razor scooters were the big thing? You were probably about 7. I was like 10.
Mm.
And I wanted one for Christmas so badly. My parents like lectured me like I would get over it. I wouldn't look after it. All this sort of stuff. You know,
like it's a dog?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? You think you want this now because all the other kids, blah, blah, blah. But you've already got a bike. You don't need this, blah, blah, blah. My parents really gave me a bit of a lecture about it.
I would be like, yeah, that's how the world works. I will want something now. I'm not going to want it when I'm 25.
Yeah, no, well,
there'll be a time where I don't care about Razor scooters.
There's a time when I want e-scooters.
Exactly.
And that's what exactly is happening now. So this lecture that my parents were giving me kind of got given to all of us yesterday as a city by Detective Inspector Marcus. Held a press conference. He had a bit of a chat to us. The Carillion was going off its nut in the background, which I thought was hilarious. But he basically said that, look, there are rules that go with these scooters, guys.
Mm.
We're just getting out in front of it ahead of time. Don't be drinking and then riding on them. Don't be two people on them at the same time.
Yeah, all the rules that are put pretty much on the scooters abide by them.
And the police are going to be like, yeah, we will look into this if people just start flagrantly ignoring the rules.
Yeah.
Plus also, if you hit someone on them, like you are still very much, that's like driving a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these different rules that were coming out. And it was like, oh, okay, right.
These aren't just free range scooters.
I watched the whole 11-minute press conference and I was like, this is like a parent just saying, look, these are fun, but just got to be a bit careful because there are rules.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the hell out of it because I was like, you know what? This is good. This is the best way to address this. It's calming, and I'm now also a lot more informed about the scooters.
You're on board. That I feel like that's a sign of you getting a little bit older as well. It's like you're leaving behind the past childhood self of yours and then kind of going like, you know what? This is a talking to that we kind of needed to have.
I think it's good that we literally are getting this stuff addressed before the scooters are taken away from us.
Exactly right. He's like, look, I don't want to take these away, but we will have this conversation again. And then three strikes, you're out.
Because that's what the precursor to all these types of conversations are. If I have to talk about this again,
yeah,
we're going to have to take it off you.
You've been warned.
And that could happen with over 750 scooters.
Yeah.
They would be like, look, we'll have to, we'll confiscate these until after you guys have promised maybe you can behave.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point.
I don't want it to get to that point. Don't make me be the bad guy, but I will if I have to.
And I'm very glad that we've had this talking to, and now all I'll say to you, Canberra, heat it. Scoot on safely, because I do not want these taken off us by Detective Inspector Marcus, who's apparently dad for Canberra now. I do not want these taken away.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
One of my favourite news stories to keep checking in on at the moment is the ongoing legal battle between Hungry Jack's and McDonald's over the Big Jack. It's a burger that is eerily similar to the Big Mac.
I mean, just saying the name, you go, oh, I know exactly what they've done.
Yeah, and Hungry Jack's are... sticking to the, how could you possibly confuse these two burgers?
Yeah.
They're completely different, which has been the cornerstone of the marketing. It's...
Hungry Jack's have found, like, the Goldilocks, where it's like, it's very much on the nose, but it's not too on the nose, because a couple of weeks ago, Rache's entered the arena with a burger called the Big Jack Mac, or the Big Mac Jack, and the Maccas were immediately like... No, that's just our name with Jack on the end.
Literally, cease and desist.
Please don't
Didn't
call
just
it
say
that.
It. Yeah. Sent them one.
Yeah.
So this is the Big Mac Jack is no more, but the Big Jack is still being sold.
Yep.
And they're in court. I believe they're in mediation now. So like actually having a mediator try and hash it out between the two companies.
Okay. Yeah.
The spokesman for McDonald's has done very professional. As the matter is currently before the court, it would be inappropriate to comment at this time.
Of course.
That's the spokesman from McDonald's.
Makes sense.
Spokesman from Hungry Jack's has come back with, the Hungry Jack's is confident that no Australian consumer should be confused in the slightest about where to buy the Big Jack because the burgers are better at Hungry Jack's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
This is literally, this isn't besmirching either brands, but this is literally like, it's like Batman trying to deal with the Joker.
Yeah.
It's like McDonald's is Batman, who's like just trying to maintain order and like obviously we're in legal proceedings.
This
we
is
can't
the Big Mac,
and then Hungry Jack's is like this anarchist who doesn't care about anything, and they're just like, we'll tell you what's going on. We don't care.
We are right now not being paid by McDonald's or Hungry Jack's to talk about this. What Hungry Jack's have worked out is if you make something so wildly funny, you will get all the free advertising. Even if they end up having to pay some money to McDonald's, the amount of free advertising they've got from this,
it's insane.
It is insane.
But that's it.
Because I just said their slogan as part of an official statement.
It's just crazy. You just can't reason with them. They don't care. The more press they get, the better.
I love the ad. My favorite ad that's come out so far is when they said that they of some company thinks you might be confused.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. That's why they've taken you to court. That's why you're currently in legal proceedings.
I love that the Hungry Jack's whole philosophy here seems to be, let's continue to act surprised that this is happening.
Yeah, let's poke the bear that is McDonald's until we get eaten.
Well, until the Big Jack gets eaten.
Which apparently is quite often.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a cat who has caused a bit of mischief for a guy who was just trying to, I don't know, enjoy his company.
Have a cat.
Yeah, that's it. His crime was a heinous crime of owning a cat.
Having a cat.
Exactly right. So this guy, he left his house for 30 minutes to go get some lunch.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking a bit of a break. In that 30 minutes, the cat... I guess unknowingly to his owner, has figured out how to close. You know those little the plugs that you just push down on and they close
in the sinks.
In the sinks,
yeah, I've got them in my sinks.
Exactly right. Pushed one of those down,
mm-hmm.
then turned on the tap.
Yep.
Then it's scurried away.
Yep.
The entire apartment is flooded because there is just a tap running with a sink closed.
That'll happen.
And it has destroyed the entire flooring of the bathroom.
Mm.
It's the water has leaked through onto a TV. A bunch of furniture onto the floor underneath the floor that it was on, so it's ruined that floor as well.
So the cat's essentially just tried to destroy the apartment.
Yep. By doing things a cat shouldn't know.
Yeah.
And then she's filmed it because she's like, oh, he's done it again. It's like, so he goes down and pushes on the plug, so he knows what he's doing, this cat, and then gets up and then gets the little lever in his mouth and pulls it across and then turns it up.
What a genius cat.
Sort of.
That's incredible.
What a maniacal cat, kind of.
This is the thing. I live in an apartment building, and if I had water damage from the upstairs apartment because of their cat, surely that is a mutual agreement from not just me, but also the people who live above me that it's time for the cat to go.
No more cats.
You either live on the bottom floor.
How does the cat get a second chance at this?
Oh, because this is it. If you did that, you would be evicted.
I would be evicted.
You would be evicted. If you just went into the bathroom, closed the tap and turned it on and went, I'm going to leave for 30 minutes, you would be evicted.
If you're sticking to it as the tenant and you're like, look, he's just a bit of a troubled cat. He needs another chance. Yeah. So that's fine, but you leave.
Yeah.
And take the cat with you.
Yeah, exactly right.
Like, you're evicted.
Yeah. Either he leaves or you both leave.
You don't get another chance at this. Yeah. Like, this is silly.
Yeah, it would be so hard.
The cat didn't work also, and I will say this, and this is not trying to blame the person that's lost all of their property, but the cat didn't learn how to do this on their own.
Well, the cat's watched them do it.
I think he's watched, yeah.
Yeah, what are you meant to do? Not turn on your taps in front of your cats?
This is what I'm thinking. From moving forward, this is just a good bit of a situational awareness thing. Maybe keep your house safe. Don't let your cat watch you turn on taps.
Yeah.
Watch you turn on gas stoves. Yeah. Watch you turn on anything that could cause major damage to your house.
Yeah.
If the cat also was able to turn it on. Maybe a light switch is fine because then the cat could be like, oh, yeah, that's okay.
This is all right.
Then the most you'll do is lose some power. But things with the ability to actually wreck stuff.
Don't let the cat ever watch
you ignite the barbecue.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to teach them these things.
This is the new weird world we live in. Yeah. Owning a cat's not worth it.
No, really not.
You can't do anything in your apartment just in case your cat turns it against you.
We've got to put the cat in the spare room while we cook dinner.
While we cook dinner, while we wash anything, while we do anything, the cat's got to be locked in the laundry.
Didn't even think of the washing machine.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, you really can't own a very smart cat. That's a rule.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
There was a man who played Batman many moons ago by the name of Michael Keaton.
Yep.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night and he was asked a pretty important, pretty weighty question and answered it without a second of delay.
Have a listen.
Michael, who was the best Batman?
Me.
I think that you would think, so I don't disagree whatsoever.
Yeah, he's fair. He's phenomenal. Yeah.
But I don't think you, I think if you played Batman in any capacity, you would imagine, I think you would think you were the best Batman.
I think, no disrespect to Adam West too, because he was like the first live action Batman kind of, well, there was a bunch of like serials and stuff, but Michael Keaton was like the first one to do it proper serious.
Yeah.
Like, I've got the full black rubber suit and I'm doing this.
Yeah,
suit.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like the Connery of Batman.
Yeah.
Like, he was the first one to set the template for this.
Exactly.
So it's hard to argue. He doesn't 0.779 seconds is how long it takes him. Which, because it's a Zoom interview, you could say
that's almost a delay.
It's just the delay of the internet.
It's funny because that's it. I think if I played any kind of Batman, I would think I was the best.
Okay, so look, this is the thing, right? Any superhero, any character you dreamed of playing if you were an actor when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It'd be so nerve-wracking because imagine if you played it and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, objectively, the movie you're in wasn't good.
But at the end of the day, you were Batman.
Oh, you can't take that away from someone.
That's it. And there's only, like, what? There's probably, like, 8 people who've played Batman. Yeah. You were one of them.
Do you have the self-reflection, though, to go, the movie was a bit of a stinker, though?
Yeah. I would have the self-reflection to go, the movie sucked, but God, I was good as Batman.
God, I nailed it. I was sensational
as
Batman.
The part I was born to play.
It was a weird version of Batman where he technically took his mask off and just admitted to the world that he was Batman
and then
allowed himself to be arrested for being a vigilante. No one liked it, but geez, I did it well.
But God, I was Batman. You can't take that away from me. I was Batman.
I stole a Batmobile. It was great. It was a great experience.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned. Yes. Just taking a little bit of a look at conservation news, as I do once every 2 months. Just taking a little bit of a look at what people are doing. Great news if you're a big fan of koalas, which I am.
Everyone should be.
And they're in a lot of trouble, koalas. So it's good that when we see some bright, shining positivity in this whole scenario.
Yeah.
They're looking at ways to get gum nuts into bushfire-ravaged areas.
Well, yeah, because I guess it would be pretty hard for them to eat after everything's been
burnt. No, the gum nuts are to help plant more gum trees.
Oh,
yeah, so
okay,
get sort
right.
of regrowth and all sorts of right. stuff going on. So it's a multifaceted thing.
Yeah.
And so what they're looking is getting the habitats back to the way they used to be, which
very
is
nice.
Fantastic. They're looking at parachute dropping in gum nuts via drone, which I think is my favourite sentence I think I've ever heard.
That's very funny.
I think this is like basically a plot line that could happen on a new episode of Blinky Bill. Like parachuting in gum nuts.
Yeah, when you said parachuting in gum nuts, I imagine like the bush babies, like the gum nut babies just floating down with their little hat, with their little leaves.
Literally, I would love to see biodegradable parachutes on each individual gum nut.
And you could use a little eucalyptus leaf.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they'd be dropping mass amounts of them in at once.
Yeah.
But I want one at a time.
Yeah.
One drone at a time, one gum nut at a time. Fantastic.
So we'll have like 20 trees by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think, look, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'll be a part of it. I'll help if that's what, if everyone's like, it's too tedious, just for the visual, I'll help.
You'll help?
I'll help for free.
I tell you what I'd like to say. You know how we were filling up those planes with massive water, like the planes that were flying over the fires with water?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially fill those entire compartments with gum nuts.
Yeah.
And then just vroom. That, I mean, it will lose a lot of animals because
that's not a good idea.
They're little bullets. But
yeah, no, that's not a good idea.
I'd like that many eucalyptus and gum nut trees.
Well, you know what? Let's combine the two ideas.
Yeah.
A drop like that, but with, once again, still all little biodegradable parachutes on each gum nut, so it doesn't hurt any animals.
Yeah.
And then we're just dropping mass amounts of gum nuts in one go.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good
it will just be very expensive and hard to make a little biodegradable parachute.
The thing I think, though, more than anything here is this is an idea I could have come up with, and that's what I love when I see that in science sometimes. You know, like, oh, we've got to get these really remote areas where we'd like to see some growth and we'd like to see, you know, some of the habitat coming back, but we don't know how to get people up there.
Yeah.
I could literally, in a boardroom, just go, what about a drone?
What if we parachute gum nuts?
And expect somebody to go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But instead, they're doing it.
And they get full funding.
To me, what that says is I could do this for a living. I could be a scientist.
Yeah. You figured it out. You've cracked the code.
Look, there's going to be obviously a strike rate of a lot more bad ideas than good.
Because
occasionally,
after you have this home run, what are you going to do? It's like,
I don't know, we need to figure
out how to get water to countries.
I don't know what's next for me as a scientist, but after hearing this idea and thinking I could have done that, I'm sure there'll be something else I could come up with.
Sure.
Something else I could take credit for later. Someone else's hard work.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, in Norway, there's been an apology from a minister in the government who has apologised for daylight savings.
In what capacity?
That it's gone longer. It's made 2020 go longer.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
The guys apologised for adding an extra hour to 2020.
God, you know your year's bad when it's like, I'm sorry, there's like 100... Well, I don't know. I actually don't know how many hours there are in a year, but... He's like, I'm sorry for adding just one more. Not even an extra day, an extra hour. That's my bad.
I think what's hilarious about this to me is that technically there's no more time.
Mm.
Like, still 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
But what he's done is push it to the time where people would be awake a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
you know, like, so that's... For people who get up early, like you and I and anybody probably listening to this, doesn't really... The apology doesn't really even matter because we were going to be up anyway.
Exactly. It doesn't
land. But people are getting up. It just... Look, for me, at the moment, I feel like this is a great gesture, though, and I would have liked it from our government. Just a nice little apology? Just an apology for... not. I mean, this is not their fault. Anything that's happening is not their fault, but it's definitely like just... we know going to work today is going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the government, just sorry that you have to go to work today.
What if it's not... Because at the same time, they're also doing they're in the same boat as us.
That's true, I guess.
So what if it's not a sorry as much as, like, we get it?
Yeah.
We know.
I guess
it sucks.
If I needed an apology from somebody for the extra hour and like Greenwich Mean Time, whoever organises that.
The
thing that we set all of our clocks to?
Yeah.
They just come out of their...
They should apologise.
...their time headquarters and go, look,
that's
sorry.
That's how bad.
We could technically make up some nonsense about the planet spinning a little bit faster and take some hours off this year. It's a leap year as well, so that's great. Like, but yeah, sorry.
That's how bad.
We haven't really put our heads to how we could do that.
Yeah.
Make the 10, 9, 8 happen 6 hours earlier.
Yeah.
We haven't worked out how to do that.
We would love to. We just don't know how
to. Take 10 minutes off every day.
Yeah.
And then eventually by New Year's Eve, we skip a day.
Nearly a week behind.
How wonderful would that be? Yeah. Let's get on that, guys.
Yeah. Let's figure out how to get some hours off the clock.
We could time travel in a lot more of a boring way.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call Malaganis Edwards Johnson or visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.